The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The ruler sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him, there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuked him and said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we had been condemned justly, for the sentences we receive corresponding with our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
So here we are on the 34th Sunday and last Sunday of ordinary time. But look, we're wearing white vestments. It's the feast of Christ the King, called the Feast of Christ, Ruler of the Universe. Now, it's kind of interesting. We Americans don't really understand royalty. The Brits have their queen, or now their king, and they've had him for hundreds of years. The Russians had their czar. They miss him even now. Saudi Arabia has their royal family, and African nations have their monarchies. And even Hawaii has a royal family, but we Americans don't really understand, mainly because we spent the last 250 years almost shedding ourselves of the idea of sovereign rule. So why Christ the King? This is one of the most recent solemnities within the church. It's not even 100 years old. It was established in 1925 by Pope Pius XI. It was later refined by Paul VI. But Pius XI felt the need to give the world a new vision of Christ working within the world. It was the time of political upheaval. Dictators like Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin encouraged their people to turn their backs on Christ, on religion, on everything spiritual. It was post-World War I, and it was a time of widespread hatred, social disorder, and distrust in almost everything, especially government and religion. So the Pope felt that there was a need to revitalize people's spirits and establish this solemnity to try to renew Catholics and Christians throughout the world to return to having the faith of the risen Lord. And so we have the solemnity of Christ the King, King of the universe. But what can we today get from this feast? Well, I believe that what this feast really is to remind us of our charge given by Jesus himself to become saints. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that seems to be a really, really hard challenge. But there is a path towards sainthood that we can take. Becoming a saint doesn't mean we are all suddenly to become perfect, or even close to that. But what it does mean is that we allow the divine life of Christ to flow through us. It's St. Paul that tells us, "It is no longer that I live, but that Christ lives through me." And if you follow this advice, you soon will see that you find that your top priority is now love. You slowly see your behavior changing, and changing for the better. Turns out that if you let God into your lives in this manner, then love will take over every aspect of your life, and you are on the path of transformation towards sainthood. At first, it feels like you're just along for the ride, but soon you find that you are in complete control. And living with love within us is not restrictive, but liberating. We begin to live our lives in a way that brings joy to the forefront, and destructive behaviors get behind, because God is in the very ground of our being and the one that becomes the source of our control. You suddenly see the true gifts that are within you shine, and your personality lights up. And as a result, you discover the true passions in your life, and you embrace them, and you act on them. Suddenly, the self that once pursued worldly things, possessions, positions, advancements, relationships, and so on, are all let go, and instead, the self seeks things that loving has to offer. Gaining riches or prestige or money or advancement are no longer life's priorities anymore. And rather, you seek the things that bring joy to others, and you become the best you that you can be, the person that God wants you to be. And you realize that life isn't really all about you. Instead, you realize that living out a life of love means living a life of service. Now, the first mistake we make when we're challenged with this is that we think that all the saints were perfect. That's far from the case. There are many stories of notorious saints, if you just read the lives of some of them. Heck, Mary Magdalene had 7 demons exorcised from her. St. Francis of Assisi squandered all his father's wealth before he followed the path. Ignatius of Loyola actually had a police record for injuring people. Even Thomas Merton broke his vow of chastity and had an affair. And Blessed Stanley Rother had a mischievous youth. All these holy men and women didn't live perfect lives. Instead, they lived pretty normal lives, kind of like you and me. But what they did have in common, and what set them apart, was that they let Jesus Christ live through them. And since God is love, this commitment to loving through Jesus and loving their fellow man is what set them apart from the crowd. And these saints understood their flaws, and they knew it's impossible to reach perfection. And that's a good thing, because then you recognize that you're not perfect, and you know your weaknesses. Why? Because understanding your weaknesses humbles you. And it is in this humility that loving is possible, and the path to sainthood is started. Humility is the gateway to love. Knowing yourself and your foibles and accepting them is the key to recognizing the need for divine help. It is surrounding love that makes one saintly. Following in the footsteps of the saints allows us to become more human. And when you're in touch with your humanity, you are more aware of the humanity of others. And it is then that we become ready for life of service to others. Christ the King wants us to be saintly. In today's gospel, the one who asked for forgiveness and spoke to Jesus out of love found himself rewarded with everlasting life in spite of his crimes. We too can travel along this path that Jesus charts out for us. Jesus expects us to follow his example and to abide by his simple two rules that he has given us. Love God among all things and love your neighbor as yourself. Sainthood. Yes, it's reachable and it's within our grasp. We have the power to attain it, but only if you really want it. It is not for the faint-hearted. It is not like things are going to be easy. It takes hard work. God is good.
All the time.
So let's stand now and profess our faith in Christ the King with the words, "I believe in one God."